All right, the recording has started. And we are in NTI Revelation chapter 8. And it starts off with a reading from the Bible, Revelation chapter 8. So let me give that a try. I opened right up to it this time. That's fun. Pardon? Oh, the page number. Thank you for reminding me. The page number in NTI, I have 471. 472 in the paperback. All right, so I'm going to read verses 1 to 13 from the Bible first. So, again, the six seals that we had seen before I went to China were the horses, and now the Lamb is going to open the seventh seal. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded from the other three angels." So, let me read what NTI has to say about this. Do not let fear block your sight. There is nothing to fear. When you believe there is, you feel the effects of fear. When you realize there is only love, the illusion of fear dies. All meaning comes from the mind. All meaning comes from the mind. This is repeated. Because if you believe meaning comes from anything else, you are mistaken. You have applied meaning and then denied that the meaning was given by you. In this way, you choose fear because you choose to believe that you are what you are not. Therefore, you choose to believe that you can die. It is time to look within the mind at the beliefs you hold there. The seventh seal is meaningless. Everything associated with the seventh seal has no meaning at all. In this realization, you free yourself to look at the events associated with the seventh seal and to ask, "What meaning am I seeing in this?" As you ask this question, look deeply at the hidden beliefs within your mind. Know that it is your mind. Do not deny that it is. The time has come to look and to release from the mind that which is in the mind that teaches only fear. What do you see in your mind when you read Revelation chapter 8? What meaning are you giving to the words that are written there? What beliefs within your mind need to be let go and healed? So when I was reading Revelation chapter 8, were there any thoughts that were crossing your mind that you can recall?
I was thinking, I wonder what the author was trying to convey with all these symbols and imagery and all that. But I did sense a little bit of, not fear, but like apprehension when you started reading all that was happening on earth and all that. And I said, but of course that didn't really happen, but why was he saying all that was happening? I'm trying to figure out what he was trying to get across.
Yes. How about you, Dan? Do you have any thoughts? Not a thing.
It's wild. It's talking about the apocalypse. It's wild. I can't make heads or tails of most of Christian scripture, but I can make a lot of sense out of what the prophets have, you know, enjoyed, what he taught, those types of things. But Revelations, I got nothing.
Well, I think that's why it's really interesting that Holy Spirit is talking about in NTI about how we give meaning to everything. Because if the three of us decided to get a doctorate degree and we decided to study the meaning that people have given to Revelation, there would be so many different interpretations, right? And yet how many of these people believe their interpretations? They do. They believe it fully. And in fact, you know, although I haven't read the Quran must have something similar because this is what ISIS is trying to start, right, is this apocalypse. So, you know, what people don't understand, I'll start with the general public and then I'll zoom in on us. What people don't understand is that they are taking something that's meaningless and they're giving meaning to it and believing their own meaning. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about how the human mind makes up stories. You know, it might be driving down the street and see some man talking to some woman and it makes up a story about what the man and the woman are talking about, and then it believes the story. And it might even believe the story enough to then, you know, show up somewhere else and tell somebody, oh, you won't believe what I saw. I saw this man and this, right? And that's what we do all of the time. And it's interesting that Holy Spirit is using Revelation to emphasize this, because as I was reading 8, I could remember at least a few interpretations in my lifetime where people have said, oh, that's it. You know, for example, Revelation 8:10 says, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Well, I remember back in the mid-1980s when the Chernobyl accident happened. Something around there was called Wormwood, or at least somebody thought it was. And so there was a lot of people talking about, oh, this is the beginning of that thing in Revelation, right? It's right there, Wormwood. And, you know, that Wormwood is in that area of Russia. Or that word in Russian means Wormwood or something. I don't remember the details now. But a lot of people were really saying, this is it. This is the beginning of Revelation. And, of course, it wasn't. I mean, that time has come and gone now, right? There was another one in here. What was the other one? The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Since I've lived here, so it's been in the last 5 years, there was a big, I think BM was the company, a big oil accident in the Gulf. Do you remember that? And there were people saying, ah, this is the beginning. This is what they're talking about in Revelation when they said that a third of the sea was going to turn to blood and a third of the living creatures were going to die at this huge BM accident. And, you know, people just, they make stuff up. We make stuff up.
Yeah.
And believe it.
Yeah, so somebody said that if somebody's talking about the end of the world or the apocalypse or something like that. The place that they're coming from is from the ego. It's like, it's a sure, it's, and that's what, that's a sure tip off. It's like they're talking about the end of days, and in order to do that, I mean, it makes sense that whoever was out there saying that, that it would be from the ego, because you'd have to have an identifiable times, space, being, guys, story, and then the events of the world around you would have to be real, and, you know, as real as this individual. So
yes.
I have to say that I agree completely with that. The guy who says that, that people that, that promote that idea, I think for the most part, he's right about that.
Well, and of course, you know, a few years ago, for a number of years, a lot of spiritual people, maybe primarily in the New Age movement, but not just the New Age movement, a lot of spiritual people were going based on the Mayan calendar, right, instead of Revelation, and they thought something was going to happen in 2012. Do you guys remember that? There were people writing books on it, people believing it, and some people thought it was going to be an apocalypse kind of thing, and some people thought it was going to be an enlightenment kind of thing, like everybody was going to be enlightened on a certain date, and then you could just manifest anything you wanted, and so there were two different opinions of what was going to happen. But again, people were making stuff up and then believing what they made up. And so what's important to realize, you know, these are somewhat exaggerated cases to some of us, except I know a lot of people who believe the 2012 thing. A lot of people. Sometimes I felt like I was the only one who didn't, to be honest. So I think we really need to stop and we need to look at this tendency we have to believe myth, fantasy, you know, stuff that just has nothing to do with reality, right? And realize what a huge obstacle or what a huge distraction that is from truth. And I think that's what Spirit's trying to point out here with taking us in Revelation, having us look at Revelation. And really, Spirit is saying it's not those people over there that are ridiculous. You know, I need to look at me. Where am I ridiculous? Where am I believing stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with reality? Stuff that I'm making up in my own head and believing. And, you know, we believe things about each other. You know, that's what gossip's all about, right? Isn't gossip just believing stuff about each other that has nothing to do with reality? So yes, Spirit says, all meaning comes from the mind. All meaning comes from the mind. This is repeated, because if you believe meaning comes from anything else, you are mistaken. You have applied meaning, and then denied that meaning was given by you. And remember that night you wore those cute silver sneakers, and I used that as an example that of what I say you were? I made up a flashy or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I made up the story that you were flashy, Dan and I. Tonight I'm the one with the red hiking boots, so tonight I could be the weird one. But often you wear the red hiking boots. But, you know, we just make stuff up about people. We make stuff up about governments. We make stuff up about all kinds of things. There are so many stories about our government that I think are just ridiculous stories. Ridiculous stories that large numbers of people believe. You know, like large numbers of people believe that George Bush had something with the downing of the Twin Towers, these conspiracy theories. There are so many conspiracy theories that people believe that somewhere they get made up, they get written in a book, people read them, they believe them, they say this is the truth, and it's all a distraction. It has nothing to do with truth, even here. Otherwise, ultimate truth. All kinds of things about aliens, and I'm not saying there aren't people on other worlds, because, you know, the universe is pretty big. But I think there's an awful lot of stuff about aliens that is just imagined, and people believe it because they want to believe it, right? And we need to start asking ourselves, why are we so interested in the fantastic? You know, do we prefer the fantastic to the truth? And again, the fantastic could be some juicy gossip story about some person we know, right? Why are we so attracted to the fantastic? And our news, although, you know, if you watch the news, what's happened in America with a lot of the news stations is, you know, some event happens, and before the facts are known, I know you guys know this, before the facts are known, they're on there telling stories, right? About what has occurred. They have commentators sharing their opinions, arguing, and people must be watching it all day long because it's on all day long. And, you know, they're not going to put it on the news if we're not watching it, right? Right? If we weren't so enthralled with the fantastic, they wouldn't put it on there because they just want us to watch. That's their only goal. So we must be so excited by the fantastic. And so, you know, Spirit says here, everything associated with the seventh seal has no meaning at all. That's a pretty clear statement. No meaning at all. In this realization, you free yourself to look at the events associated with the seventh seal and to ask, what meaning am I seeing in this? Now, maybe, you know, for a lot of us, maybe we don't have a deep relationship with the Bible, and maybe we don't really hear any meaning in that, and so this isn't really going to apply. But we could take that same question and start looking at other areas of our life, you know, like the gossip, or, you know, the fantastic, you know, conspiracy stories or whatever, and say, why am I so attracted to this? What meaning am I giving this? What has this to do with truth? Right? And just start questioning ourselves.
Why do I not wake up and find visitors on my couch? You know, extended masters. You know, that's what I want to know. I think I got shortchanged. Happens to other people, but that's truly fantastic.
But, you know, and I, of course, I've never woken up and had ascended masters on my couch. But I get up every morning, and I go into contemplation, and every morning I receive what I'm going to call deep wisdom. And there's something in that that is meaningful. And I think that's what we need to learn, the difference between what is truly meaningful and where are we applying meaning and getting excited about stories, fantasies, unrealities, and what do we really want? You know, what do we really want? Are we more excited about the fantastic, the news story of the day, for example? Or are we more interested in going within and getting wisdom and contemplating wisdom all day? That's really the question here. What do we want? So let's go on to NTI Revelation chapter 9, because it kind of continues the same thing. I'm going to read from the Bible again. So I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 9, just verses 1 to 6. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. All right, let's see what NTI has to say about that. The words within this passage are also meaningless. Only interpretation can be given to them. The abyss is the recesses of your mind where you still hold to beliefs that you do not desire to hold to anymore. Now that you are free of the desire to maintain those beliefs, you are free of the beliefs. They cannot be maintained against your will. It is important to go into the abyss and look for what is hiding there. The beliefs that you have chosen against can hide, like cobwebs, until you see them and brush them away from the mind. The smoke that rises out of the abyss is distraction. Do not look at it now. Look past the smoke, deep into the abyss. With clarity and light, that which you seek to see shall indeed be seen. Nothing can stand in the way of the will of the Son of God. And I will just share with you as the scribe what this felt like when I was writing this. As I mentioned, the abyss is the deep recesses of the mind. And the smoke that came up, I would call emotions. So, for example, the emotion of guilt, right? Or the emotion of unworthiness. And this is telling us not to be distracted by the smoke. Because if I'm distracted by the smoke, what's going to happen is I'm going to think I'm guilty. Whenever we're really strongly distracted by our emotions, what we tend to do is we tend to believe our emotions are true. I don't know why, but we do. So if I feel guilty, we think I am guilty. If I feel unworthy, I think I am unworthy. If I feel fear, I think there is something to fear, right? If I feel hatred, I either think there is something to hate or I think I'm hateful. That can be interpreted either way. But somehow we think our emotions are truth. And so this is saying don't be distracted by the emotion. Look past the emotion at the belief. And the reason it's asking us to look past the emotion at the belief is because our emotions are not truth. Our emotions are only the effect of a false belief. So for example, the false belief is, I call it the I am bad belief, right? A Course in Miracles calls it guilt. But if I believe I am bad at my core, then I am going to experience guilt, I'm going to experience unworthiness, I'm going to experience shame, I'm going to experience lack in the sense of not good enough, right? I'm going to experience all of these emotions. But the reason I'm experiencing emotions is because I hold to a false belief. And if I can see that belief, and see that I made it up. Remember back in chapter 8, all meaning comes from the mind. All meaning comes from the mind. This is repeated because if you believe meaning comes from anything else, you are mistaken, right? So usually when we have the I am bad belief in whatever form we have it, guilt or unworthiness or not good enough, we have what we consider proof in the world, right? Proof. But this is saying no. If you think meaning comes from anything else, you're mistaken. It only comes from the mind. It only comes from what you're believing. So I want to go in and I want to see what I'm believing. And I want to see I made that up. I'm the one believing it. And if we can really get that, you know, through our heads, through our hearts, in a very deep way, then we can start choosing not to believe. And when we start choosing not to believe, the undoing process is beginning to happen. So that's really what Holy Spirit is pointing to. Another thing that's happening here, which is really, really interesting, is Holy Spirit is taking these words that you could say are not at all pretty. You know, we have an angel who has given some scorpions, or I think it's actually locusts who sting like scorpions, the power to torture people for 5 months, and the people are not allowed to die. They have to suffer, right? Not at all beautiful. And Holy Spirit is interpreting it in a way that's helpful. So another thing that Holy Spirit is telling us here, again, all meaning comes from the mind. And yet your mind has two possible interpreters. You can let the ego interpret things for you, like you were talking about. Whenever anybody has an apocalypse story that's coming from the ego, you can let the ego interpret things for you. or you can let me, the right mind, interpret things for you. And if you let me interpret things for you, I can interpret anything, even this, in a way that's going to be helpful to you. There is nothing out there in the world, not a single news story, not a single event, not a single circumstance in your life, there is nothing that I cannot use to help awaken you. That's a pretty powerful message. I can even take this and show you another way to look at it. Yeah. You want to say something?
That's a pretty powerful lesson. I think at some point I did have a realization that everything is love, and it was it was a really shocking headline in a local paper that I happened to see when I was in the South. And in this part of Colorado, we don't experience a lot of what pathologies and criminalities go on in other parts, but I looked at that, and my experience was I looked at what these people had done, and they had been tried, and they were already convicted, and going away from life, and it was like surrounding a little kid, and I was like, oh yeah, that, my mind just wants to. I can see now there's big mind, and then there's my small interpretation of the events of the day, and there's oh yeah, that's. It really got my attention. Really got my attention. If you can look at a news story that tragic and see that the only possible phenomenon taking place is love. That's it. That's the key to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just another, one of the news stories that's big this week is about the boy. Well, he's 21. I guess he's a man, but he looks like a boy to me. Who went to that church in Charleston, South Carolina, spent an hour in Bible study with these people, talking with them, getting to know them, and then shot 9 of them, right, and killed them. And around the time that that news story was on, I also happened to be preparing for a Kabbalah class I'm studying. And as I'm reading the Kabbalah class, it occurred to me, because there's this place in the book that I'm reading, his name is Michael Berg, the author. He talks about how, the light of God, they don't use the word God, but the light of God is in all of us. I mean, that's what we are. We are the light. But it can appear not to be so. And he said, for example, in fact, I have the sun in my eyes right now, so this is perfect. He says it can appear not to be so because you can, just like I can take a penny, he says, and you can hold it in front of the sun, and you can completely block out the sun. But yet the sun is still there. He says, that's what we can do. We can take a penny within ourselves through false belief, listening to the ego completely in the mind, and it can appear to block out the sun. But the sun is still there completely strong. So I looked at that boy and I thought, that's what he's done. He's listened to these racist thoughts, right? And where do the racist thoughts come from, by the way? You guys know?
Selective.
All of us?
Yeah.
All of us? Yeah, he listens to these racist thoughts that are being transmitted from everyone all over the world, lots of different kinds of discrimination thoughts. He listens to them, and they begin to build up in his, in his individual character story mind, and that's like a penny covering the sun. But guess what? The sun's still as bright in him as it is in all of us.
That's a tough one. It's a happy day when you get that lesson.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think for me it was probably the most challenging. But when it comes, I guess, if coming from a background with some ACIM, I think it was really helpful because you can't look at, there's no neutral ground. You can't, you can look at it like wrong-minded or, right-minded. There's no defense on these.
Yeah, and the wrong mind is just a penny.
Yeah.
Covering up the right mind. Yeah. The right mind is absolutely perfect and whole in everyone, all the time. Right? That's amazing. And see, that's how Holy Spirit interprets news events. So then you look, still, if I was on a jury, this doesn't mean that if I was on a jury for this young man that I couldn't say guilty. This doesn't even mean I couldn't say death penalty. You know, by looking at the law, and blah, 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 here's the law, if you do this, this is what, okay, yep, this, I could do all of that, right? But still be looking at him and realizing that whole light is there. It's just covered up right now, you know? And so that's what Holy Spirit is saying. I can reinterpret anything if you will let me. If you will let me, I will reinterpret every single thing in order to help you awaken. And look, I'm doing it with the book of Revelation. And in fact, before we're done with the book of Revelation, there are sections that we are going to be asked to read and let Holy Spirit interpret it for us. We'll be given a few hints to kind of give us something to start with. But then we're going to be asked, okay, with this idea, which is a right-minded idea, read this passage of Revelation. What do you see here? And so Holy Spirit is literally going to use, you could say, one of the darkest books ever written to help us see that we can always see with our right mind. But the question is that we have to ask ourselves is which one am I interested in seeing with? Again, if we go back to Revelation chapter 8, we seem to have an attraction to the fantastic. You know, we have an attraction to the dark. You know, we have an attraction. Did you see how evil that boy was? He sat there in Bible study with them, got to know these people, and then he shot them, right? There's something in us that wants to see that way. So first we have to start questioning, what do I really want? Do I want to be attracted to the fantastic? You know, to the drama is another word for it, to the drama? Or do I want the truth? And am I willing to ask for the truth no matter what? And allow Holy Spirit to give me an interpretation that's going to keep me moving in the direction of truth, right? All right, so let's look at what's next here. Verses 7 to 11. Yeah, we can finish this. Let's look at verses 7 to 11. I'm reading from the Bible. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had the power to torment people 4 or 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. See how far I'm supposed to read here. That's it. That's where I'm supposed to read to. All right. NTI says, the locusts of this verse are only fearful if you choose to look at them as fearful. If you do, it is because you have chosen to see yourself as small. But I have not taught you that you are small, and I have not taught you that you can be hurt by locusts that represent fear. Fear can only hold you back if you choose to let it. If you choose, you can also walk right through fear. Look, the locusts are ready to step aside and let you pass. So that's an interesting interpretation, because basically, what Holy Spirit is telling us is, in one way or another, for each of us, there is going to be fear on this path of awakening. And we've all seen it. I mean, if you look, you're going to find fear somewhere. Fear of, some people have financial fears, some people have, I don't know, fears of nothingness, void, you know, just, there's fears. And Spirit's saying, you know what, there's going to be fears. That's what's going to happen. That's what ego's going to do. There's going to be fears on this path of awakening. And if you give belief to those fears, it's going to hold you back. But then you're playing small. So there's absolutely nothing to harm you. That's all that I've been teaching you. You need to recognize that you're the one that's giving the power to the fear. Practice rest, accept, and a trust. Let the fear wash over you. And then keep walking towards me.
Could you say that again? You're playing small.
Yeah. I didn't teach you to be afraid. I've taught you there's nothing that can harm you. There's absolutely nothing that can harm you. If you are choosing to believe those fear stories in your mind, you are playing small. Right. You're playing small. Nothing can harm you. And so what you need to do is practice rest, accept, and trust. Let that fear wash over you until it leaves, and keep walking towards me. Yeah. Don't believe what the mind's going to throw at you, because guess what? The mind's going to throw stuff at you. That's what the mind's going to do. So just realize it's all fantastic. It's all made up. You're going to be fine. Keep coming. And then verse 12, I do not have to read the Bible. Verse 12 says, now he's assuming that we've made that choice, because he says, fear has not stopped you, so there can be nothing to fear. So it's kind of like saying, thank you for listening to me and putting aside whatever that was that you were afraid of. Now verses 13 to 21 in NTI only. Standing beyond the fear in the abyss of your mind, guilt rises up to greet you. So we're looking at the false beliefs in the mind, and the I am bad belief, as we know, is one of the key false beliefs. At first, you may not see it, as it is well hidden within the mind. But if you look, trusting it is there, guilt shall step out and find you. A lot of people are very aware of their feelings of guilt or unworthiness or shame or lack, I'm not good enough. But there are people who are not aware of it at all. And those people will say, it doesn't apply to me, that's not me, I don't feel that. But most of the people that I've known for a long time that said that at the beginning, at some point, if they kept on the spiritual path, it showed up. Because guess what? It's in everyone. It's one of the core beliefs. And so that's what this is saying. Even if it appears that you don't have this belief, trust that you do and that it will show up. And that's just to help you so that when it does show up, you can go, oh, yeah, there it is. Just like everybody else, I've got the same belief, right?
I'm in the same boat.
I'm in the same boat, yeah. All right, let's see. I think my mind moved. Let me move back. Okay, here we go. So I'll start with 13 to 21 again. Standing beyond the fear in the abyss of your mind, guilt rises up to greet you. At first, you may not see it as it is well hidden within the mind. But if you look, trusting it is there, guilt shall step out and find you. At first, its hold may seem to strangle you, and you may feel as if you have been caught. But then remember your mission within the recesses of the mind. You are here to clear away the guilt. In trust and peace, kneel down and let the guilt rise over you. If you do not call to it in faith, it will pass you by. When this started showing up for me, when I first started experiencing it, and I first experienced it as self-hatred, that was the flavor it had. And I let it rise up over me. I knew to do that. But I swear I could taste it in my mouth. I felt like I had really bad breath while this was happening. I know another friend of mine, when it started with him, when the guilt really, and he was someone who really had it denied. He really thought he was better than everybody else by far. But when he finally got to the point where I guess he was ready to look at it, and he started seeing how unworthy he felt, he smelled. Even I could smell him. Like when it first started happening, I was like, what is that smell? You know, and it was him. And not everybody gets bad breath or puts off a smell, but those kinds of things can actually happen. You know, so another thing I remember when it started coming up for me, there was an increase in extremely negative chatter in my mind. And like, you know, like Dan's looking at me right now, my mind would say, oh my God, he hates you. He wishes you would just shut up. I don't, you know, and my mind's telling me this the whole time in a very negative way. And I had to be really clear with myself, this is just it rising up so that it can leave, right? That's what I mean. So whether it's a taste in the mouth, a smell in the body, an extremely vicious mind, it is very, very helpful to realize this has been repressed inside of me. And now it is rising up to leave. And that's why this says kneel down. You know, of course you don't physically do that, but it's a very humble stature to kneel down, right? So this says kneel down and let it rise over you. If you do not call to it in faith, which means if you don't believe it, it's going to pass you by. So in some way it may seem very strong. You know, you may have felt, you know, like not good enough from time to time in your life, but this is going to be a million times that. Just know that this is healing. It's coming up to heal. Be quiet. Be patient. Be humble. Don't believe it. And let it happen. Let it leave you.
And we're talking about any amount of time duration that this is happening, right?
Yeah, and my personal experience, which again, other people could be different, my personal experience is I had it like really strong for a couple of months and then a break. And then really strong again and then a break. And it kind of went back and forth for a period of around 5 years in my case. But it wasn't constant. You know, I always got these breaks. You know, and Peace Pilgrim must have had a similar experience because she talks about the hills and the valleys, right? The hills and the valleys. So the hills would be the breaks and the valleys would be when it was coming up again. So it wasn't, you know, one real long thing. And again, what I would always encourage anyone to do is when this starts happening, and it can happen with the guilt, it can also happen with the fear, right? When this starts happening, just make sure you're not feeding it. You're not getting in the way of it, you're not stopping it, but you're not feeding it. Feeding it would be believing it. Fearing fear feeds fear, right? And believing guilt and unworthiness feeds that. So do whatever you can to not feed it, not to interfere with it, not to re-repress it. You know, you kind of just, if within yourself somehow, stay back out of the way and let it happen. And that's the best way to heal. That's what people call the observer. You observe it. The observer. Because you're watching it, but you're not getting in the way of it at all. And you're just letting it happen. Let it undo it. It's undoing itself is what it's doing. And if you can remember that, then that makes it easier to let it happen.
And should you feed it, then you just have to forgive yourself.
So as far as an assignment goes for the week, one idea that I have, we'll see how you guys feel, is that we just watch ourselves for the week to see where we're getting sucked into the fantastic. And then just kind of ask ourselves, is this really what I want to do? Does that sound good?
Yeah, I've been doing that a lot. I think I listened to something on the internet you did on the internet. So I've already been noticing that I like to waste a lot of time.
Yeah. I think it's a strong tendency, and I think it's something that we can all watch. Absolutely. So with that said, I will turn off the recorder, and we can have a little bit of silence.